All right, so we're going to pick up where we left off. So, to recap quickly, we were getting to the next din in the Mishnah of...
Please have to look anything up.
Oh, thank you. now to the next din in the Mishnah, specifically Ha'achalal of Kadim, which, right already, the Mishnah makes clear, by implication, when it's Asr B'Hanah, so then it's going to also be Asr, when Chametz Asr B'Hanah, it's also going to be Asr L'Ha'achil B'Hanah. So, what we noted was that if we're talking about your own klubin, so that's obvious, that's Bechal Hanah, right? You're benefiting from this Chametz by feeding it, using it to feed your dogs. The issue that comes up is the question of Kabbai Hefker, where you don't seem to have any benefit, and Yerushalmi discusses this question and Asr's forbids being Mafil of Kabbai Hefker. Although Rashi seems to disagree on many Rishonim pick up on this and paskin it, and so too does the Tur and Shachar. And we started to just discuss the nature of this halacha. On what basis is it Asr? And here we noted that at least two explanations, and we were in the middle of discussing the third. The first two general directions was that in the end, it really is Bechlal Hanah. That's the the chiddush here is that even though it's klav machir, and even then, this is being considered nehet. What is the hana? So here we saw two options, right? We saw one possible suggestion, which is the levush and the Mishnah Brura explicates this. The idea is that it's simply something which is fun to do. It's a satisfying, an urge or a satisfying activity when you feed animals. We discussed the implications of that and how to understand that. The second way to say this is Mishum Hanah, again this is 1B, let's say, was the interesting suggestion of the Torah Sa'ashram, the Torah Sa'ashram, which is that a dog is Mafsik Tova. A dog, appreciates what he's given, and when you feed a dog, you in essence gain a friend. Right? Man's best friends, dogs are man's best friend, and animals can be friendly to people, and you gain a friend when you feed. Along these lines, I didn't give it in the car, as I mentioned, I think Rabbi Yaakov Emden also has this idea that his involves more of a limitation on the case in which it applies. Maybe he's talking about specifically where you're giving food in order to save oneself, in order to fend off the feeding frenzy, or to distract. So maybe that would be something which could be considered on that. Okay, and anyway, that's one general direction. Alternatively, we said it could be, second possibility, it could be this is just simply an independent halacha. It's just a dimbit and hatzmo. Taking the Yerushalmi probably literally that this is a drasha from Pasuk of Lo Ya'achel, that it's a separate drasha, that there's just another halacha here, of Lo Ya'achel of Klavim, regardless of whose Klavim they are, regardless of the fact that there's another, it's just an independent halacha. We noted the Primigardim in that context, who seems to note that this would be something which would be available to say only if you assume that Lo Ya'achel is not the Isser Hanah. Meaning, if you pass him like Rabbi Abahu, that Lo Sofa, Lo Soflu, that's enough for the Isser Hanah, then Lo Ya'achel, you could argue, is there to introduce this independent din, but the Primigardim thinks, he doesn't address so much the nature of it, he just happens to present the point that if you think that if you pass him like Hiskia, or if you quote Lo Ya'achel as the makor for the din Isser Hanah, so then you will not be able to agree with the din of Yerushalmi. Again, that's, I think, something which obviously makes sense to me, since it is an independent law. But then we were focusing on the third direction, and this is what we were in the middle of, which is the suggestion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Klonimus. Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Klonimus is cited in Hagos and Manios. This is one of the early German Balei Tosfos. One second. I have... So basically, the suggestion of Rabbi Yehuda Eklonimus is that the Isser L'Hashil of Klavim is a function of, it's not an independent Chiyuv, but it's not rooted in the Isser Hanah, it's rooted in the Chobas Biur. In the particular formulation of the Rebbe Mechlonimus, the Cholas Bir, that which is, you know, true of all Yisrael, and other, they all have a Cholas Bir, right? He quotes the Mishnah of Mura, that there's Nisrafin and there's Nikbarin, but everyone is either one. And this precludes being able to be Machil Klavim. Right, the chiyuv of biur or na, whether it be chova or gvura, srepa or gvura, that chiyuv precludes being machil klavim. It's a violation of the chovas biur. And here, so that's what we're basically up to. And here I just want to clarify and note that we can distinguish between two concepts, because I was talking to, I think, Aryeh about this, that there's it's one thing to say that you are not being mekayim the mitzvah. This is not a kiyum of the mitzvah at the moment. Right? That this is, what you're doing now is not being mekayim the mitzvah. It's another thing to say that you are violating the mitzvah. Right, to use the formulation of the Gemara Malchus, although I'm not necessarily certain this is exactly what the Gemara Malchus means by these terms, there's being Eino Mekayim, a mitzvah I say, and then there's being Mevatel, a mitzvah I say. And we have this notion all the time of being Over Ba'aseh. So just as an example, you have the mitzvah, I'll just give you a random example, mitzvah of Bat Acher Nidro. Right? So that is a commandment to be makriv, a darim, and a davos by a certain time. Either the first regal, or perhaps the three regalim. Until that time, right, somebody who simply isn't being makriv is not being mekayim the mitzvah. Right, he's in a state of ein mekayim. You only violate the mitzvah, right, you only act contrary to the mitzvah if you don't bring it within the date assigned. Right? It's after the time that you're considered to be over bi'aseh, you're over bi'bal ta'afer. Another example of just, you know, the concept is if I steal an Aveda instead, the Gemara Bavitsiya says this, right? If I steal an Aveda, instead of taking it to return it, so I am being Ober Ba'aseh. I'm violating the mitzvah of Hashem Tshibim. Conduct which is contrary to that which is commanded, so that is considered a violation of that mitzvah. One is forbidden from doing so because it violates the mitzvahs I say.
What was the example of Baal Tachar? What do you have to do?
One neglects to bring his korbanos.
What do you have to do to actually violate it?
It has to be a certain for a certain time period, either one regal or maybe three regal. That's an issue to be discussed, but it has to be by the regal. Now, I would just add as a separate point, just because to clarify further, I think this is somewhat distinct from an Isser Aseh, or Lavavav Michal Aseh, where those are cases where there's really, the whole mitzvah there's no positive element to it. It's not that there's a mitzvah and then, you know, fulfilling that mitzvah precludes acting certain ways. That's a case where you have no mitzvah to be fulfilled at all, but the entire normative import is prohibition, which is an example. Let's say Yisr Be'ulah Lekoin Gadol, right? Kiyim Psula Met Yikach. And so that's not a, there's no kind of mitzvah to take a psula. It's all that is imposing an Yisr. So that's not exactly the same concept as what we're talking here, where you're being over Ba'aseh. Okay, that's just by way of clarification. But what we're up to now is just further analyzing this position, this idea, this suggestion of Rabbi Yehuda Ben Economist that this is a violation of the Chovas Biur. Right, the hachal of klavim is forbidden as a violation of the mitzvah view. The first thing to note here, and this is what we were, I think this is exactly what we were discussing, was that this requires, it seems, the premise to be that there is in fact a mitzvah chiyuvis, an actual chiyuv to be mikayim of srepa or kavura. This is something that one is commanded to accomplish. That this is the case. Oh, so that's as opposed to saying that this, there is no chiyuv to be sorry or kover. There's no real mitzvah here. Not min haTorah for sure, and perhaps not even min derabanan. What you have in the Mishnah of Nikbarin and Nisrafin, the din really there is more. There's an isur derabanan. What that is essentially a manifestation of is the isur derabanan to allow Isuri Hana to hang around. Right? What that Mishnah is referring to is the fact that the Rabbana did not allow you to simply, you know, just have it around and I'll just make sure not to be nanny from it. So the Chazal, right, the Mishnah, understanding that this is not a Chiyud Daraisa, but rather a Chiyud Darabanan. But the point is that the Issa Darabanan is really a Chiyud to negate the situation in which one has this Issa Hana, this Takala, you know, ever present. possessing them, but just refraining from another, you can't do that, meet your bottom, therefore you have to actually get rid of it. Chova, Srefa, Gura. One would presumably argue that the distinction is in line with that goal, namely, Gvura is required for certain things because their Afer being Usser, that would be something which would be at the Kala then as well. So Gvura is the best way to handle that Kala. Srefa is a better way, is sufficient to handle these Kalas. But in any event, the Chiyu really here is just to remove the Tekala. If that is true, it makes little sense, probably, to say that this is imposing an actual chiyu that one needs to accomplish, a vura or srefa, that precludes the kind of halacha that would preclude doing something else like hachalal kavan. If the chiyu really is to ensure that it isn't around to be a takala, srefa or vura presumably then are not meant to be actual absolute mandates to have to do this specific thing. You can't have it around. So if that were true, if this is the case, that the chiyu, vura, srefa are really the normative bedrock of that is that you can't just have it around, so then presumably it would not be something that you would prevent you from, it's not the kind of thing that would impose a prohibition, would forbid you to let's say, do something like a hachal behema. Alright, it's not the kind of thing that we would say, this intervenes in your getting rid of it some other way. Because that's not the nature of this chiyuv. The chiyuv is not gur or sorry, the chiyuv is get rid of it. I did Gvura Srefa, but if that being the case, it wouldn't be something which would impose a prohibition of getting rid of it in some other fashion. So the assumption seems to be then that there is a positive mitzvah to accomplish Srefa or Gvura. Now that idea is the case, that is true, for Srefa is familiar, and it's familiar, and I was just, right, we were going over this, right, it's familiar from, I think I mentioned this last time, right, the Tosos is in Tmura's famous explanation of the din Afer Besrepa, which I had mentioned before, right? The Gemara in Tmura, I forgot to bring a Tmura, but I think, do I have a Tmura here? No. The Gemara in Tmura mentions, right, this is Lama Beis on Gimel, that there's an Isser Lisrof Esa Nikbaran, Likvor Esa Nisrafin. Why is there an Isser Lisrof Esa Nikbaran? So the Gemara says, because what's the distinction here? Why is that the case? Because you can't be sorry for Nisrafin, because in that case, the reason you can be sorry for Nisrafin and not Nisrafin is because Nisrafin Efron Mutter, whereas Nisrafin Efron Aser. That's all the Gemara says. Now, that fact alone, first of all, why that would then prohibit being sorry and Nikbaran is not explicit in the Gemara. But just the din itself, though, that Efron Mutter, and in the case of Nisrafim, but not in Nikbaran, the Gemara doesn't provide any kind of explanation. So the Tosos there immediately sees on this point, and they explain, they think that the idea is, right, why is it that Nisrafim, Efron Mutter, but Nikbaran, if you're sorry or not Mutter? Tosos' answer is that the Yisoda Heter for Efron Aser, Efron Mutter of Nisrafin, is because Nasis Mitzvah. They borrow a concept from the context of Mi'ila, where there's a general concept that things which are Aser Mishum Mi'ila are only Aser Ad Shin Nasis Mitzvah. But once their mitzvah, they've served their purpose, their Hekdesh purpose, so then they're released from the Kedusha and there's no more Mi'ila. So the Tosos use that concept that by analogy and the cogency of that is something which is open to question. But this is the Shita of Tosos. They say it's aim that idea of Nasis Mitzvasim. You have a Chiyuv Le Lisrof and Nisrafin. Once you've done that, so then the Efron Mutter, something parallel does not exist with regard to Kvura, at least not when you're sorry. We'll come back to that later. But that's the general explanation of Tosos, clearly positing that at least Lagabi Sreifa, there is such a mitzvah. Right, that there is this concept of a mitzvah to be mekayim with respect to this item. Right, if you had held that it would just simply you have to get rid of it, presumably that would not be sufficient to provide for the kind of release of Nasis Mitzvasan, of a heder of Nasis Mitzvasan. Clearly there's some sort of chiyuv, you have to be sorry for it. Having been sorry for it, so its destiny has been fulfilled, right, the positive thing that you were required to accomplish it, you have been, and therefore it's now no longer usher. Again, we'll come back to it. To the chiddush, there's a lot of this is somewhat of a novel application of this concept. But nonetheless, Tosfos says that, and given that it's familiar to us, the idea that Sreifa is that to be Soreif, the Surianah, that's actually a something of a positive mitzvah. It's not just simply, you know, get rid of it, it's actually, you know, you're doing a kind mitzvah to Sreifa, bedavar zeh. But regarding Kvura, that is less familiar. Meaning, regarding Kvura, that's more of a Kiddush. In fact, the Pnei Yoshua, the namesake of the Kiddushik Pnei Yoshua Alashas, his great-grandfather, and the Shuk Pnei Yoshua, Yabez, assumes and argues that it's clear, he thinks that the Kvobas Kvura of Nikbarin is not the parallel, or is not itself a Kvobas, like a mitzvah kiyumase, or a din, a positive din, requiring you to do Kvura. Rather, that's merely what we discussed, a measure of making sure that you remove it to kala. In other words, there is no chiyuv to do anything with this. Chazal came along and said, no, get rid of it so that it doesn't present a takala. That's a measure to ensure a gether, a chaka, to ensure they don't violate the Isuria not, to remove a takala. But that's all it is. If you accept that, I should mention many achronim, it's chazlasan, many achronim read this back into the Tosfos and think that that's actually part of the chiluk between Chovas Reifa and Chovas Kvura, that actually the idea is there is no such thing as a release for the Nikbarin, because there is no positive mitzvah for him. I think that's what the question about that. But many Achronim do read that back into the Tosfos. They say that's the entirety of the chiluk. In other words, there is such a mitzvah for Nisrafin. Therefore, when I'm Mekayim it, you do that positive thing you're required to do with it, it then becomes released into Mutter. There is no such concept of something you have to do with the Nikbarim. It's just, there's a continual, perpetual Isser. What happens when Manu Chazal said, so get rid of it, make sure it's no problem. But there's no way to then, because of it, there's nothing you can be Mekayim, which would then release it from further prohibition.
What do you think the alternative is?
I didn't intend to get to, I think the alternative is that there is a Choba, but that, well, I'll get to it in a second. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I think you could say that there is a Choba, a mitzvah, but it doesn't cease. You haven't accomplished it.
I mean, because once you exhume it, then normally you're not being Mekayim.
Burning the
you can only burn something once, as opposed to burying where it's perpetual.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's actually going a little bit further. I would just say that even before then, you can't be sorry if the Nikbarin. The Aper still needs to be Nikbar.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning you're not doing what the mitzvah that you're providing for.
Okay.
So it's not that there's in one case there is a mitzvah, in one case there isn't a mitzvah, it's that in one case nasis mitzvah so, in the other case not nasis mitzvah so. Yeah. But I'll get to that. But either way, I'm just saying that the you are familiar, I guess, with the common perception, which is that itself is the chiluk. But if you accept this, right, that the idea that kvura, there's no independent chiyuv of kvura, and right, then accept what we suggested, which is that would saying such a thing would make it very unlikely to say that, oh, and it prohibits you from, let's say, getting rid of it, that was precisely the question or the difficulty hinted to already in the Shuk Pnei Yoshua himself, and picked up also as well by the Nesivos in his Makor Chaim, his parish on Ar Chaim, in the Shuk Pnei Yoshua, right, he has the line, I think I started reading last time, maybe, and he has the line that
It's brings a riot, I think, from the Gemara and Rav Zara. Again, that has a question about, if you're going to disagree, you have to look into the Gemara and Rav Zara. Either way, he proves from the Gemara and Rav Zara. And he says, he's talking about Rabbi Berkelanus. This is his problem with Rabbi Berkelanus, or one of the problems he has with it. So he says, "Shana kvura inu elam derabanan mishum dekala." Right. So therefore, in as much as that's the case, Tarachinu, and he says regarding Rabbi Berkelanus, meaning that this is the problem. If you hold that this is only a chashash dekala problem, So then it isn't the kind of din which would forbid other things that get rid of it. And Mekor Chaim also says this. He doesn't ask it so much as a Tzar Chinon. He just uses that as a basis to reject Ridikolanos. He says, V'apim Tzar Chinon Kvura L'chol Isuri Hana. So he's talking about, by the way, just a question which we're going to return to, which is Sha'ari Isuri Hana. So he notes already the implication that seems clear from the Ridikolanos is this is not limited to Chametz. It's something which is true of presumably all Isuri Hana. So he disagrees about that, and then he says a question, a point which we'll get back to in and of itself. But for now, he says, "V'afim tzarchin kvur l'chol yisuri na ha'inim shu tekal." Awakishem alachil klavim l'shayt tekal. Right, exactly this point. And then he says, "V'afim yirei haglas moronios mashma de'aser." Mikol makom, he thinks that he goes brashi and he assumes that is what. Okay, we'll come back to that point after. But that's exactly the issue with that I'm pointing out, which is that if you assume that this is only there's no independent mitzvah chiyuvis, chiyuv, a din that you have to be mekayim with respect to the chametz. Rather, there's just simply a method of having to make sure it's no longer, a tekala, so then it wouldn't be the kind of halacha that would say, and prevents you from doing something else, like hachala l'chala. That's correct. I think that is true, that it is very unlikely for that to be the case. But what emerges then from Rudy Columbus is that he disagrees. He does not think that chiyuv kvura, because again, he mentions chovas sreifa or kvura, either one. He does not apparently think, not only the guard to sreifa, but also the guard to kvura. This is something which the Torah, which you are commanded to do. Right? Which is something to accomplish. You must accomplish the kvura, the biur, whether it's all you sreifa or kvura, is something to be accomplished, not simply a chiyuv, negating, which is essentially an isser to keep it around. He held that it was independent chiyuv ifnei atzmo, and the truth is that there's much evidence that beyond Rabbi Yerubanimus that fur is in fact a chiyuv meikar din, a kind of bior, a kind of chobet mikayin. I gave you guys a few makoros just to run through them quickly. Regarding tzipor mitzora, the tzipor shkuta, so the Rambam paskin right chover v'chover tzipor shkuta b'fanav is avodek kabbalah m'piashmo. This is a Kabbalah in Piyashmo. This is a din min haTorah in Piyashmo. Almost always in the Rambam, that's a din which is min haTorah, but not Bikra. It's a halachah of Sinai, or often it's when he uses that term, he means what he calls a perish mekubal, the kind of thing that he outlines in Sekhama the perish Mishnah. How do you know that Kriyat Hadar refers to the Sitron? I think I mentioned this before, right? So the Rambam, there are different explanations of this. I think I mentioned to you guys that the Ramban thinks it just means it's actually the pronoun, it's a proper name of the citron is hadar, or the citrus fruit is hadar. But the Ramban had a different explanation. He says in the beginning, he says Moshe Rabbeinu was shown. The Baruch Hashem said, when I said pri es hadar, this is what I was referring to. This fruit right here. He says, when it says sukkah, so here's what it means. It means 2.5 walls and this and that, right? These are the examples the Ramban gives. These are what he calls perushim mikubalim yipi Moshe. So that's what the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah usually uses to, he says, Mipiyah Shmua. That something is a Mipiyah Shmua, it's either a halacha l'mosh Mesinai, or it's a interpretation Mesinai. Either way, it's a din b'fnei atzmo that this needs to be done. This is not simply trying to figure out how do we make sure that there's no tekala. That's with regard to Tzibur Mitzora. Similarly, regarding Eglo Rufa, the Rambam writes, Eglo Rufa Asur Abit, this is a Tzibur Mitzora Tzinevish, Asur B'Hanayu, V'nik Veres V'makum Harari Fasim. These are of the same kind of normative status. These are two things which are true. There's Asur Behana, and it needs to be Nikbaris from Makom Arifasa, and that is based on the Gemara in Krisus, which has the line, at least in the verse of Menushan, Shamtei Kvurasa, that this is a drasha, Veshama, or Sham, Shamtei Kvurasa, that needs to be buried there. Now the Griz, interestingly, acknowledges this, but claims that these are exceptions to the general tin Kvura in Isuri Hana Nikbarin. In other words, general din kvur b'Isuri Hana is just a chashav tekala problem. The Rambam, when he says this, he's indicating these are not simply part of the general din. He says, V'had mevor b'mishnah the egla rufa b'ena nikbarin, it's in the Mishnah, aval ina dom le nikbarin d'Isuri Hana. The nikbarin in din kvura el d'tzrichon l'abda mechashav tekala. V'ab egla rufa yalfina m'nevi arbusham sham te kvurasa k'mosh kasev tosos kiddushin, right? I just give the Rambam tosos kiddushin as well. It says that's actually the way. Just leave it at that. he says that's actually the makor that it's also about not. Right, the ink came and wore a dinu, but it's a garment sara, and wore a rabbin, and was some mitzras, a cover of cover, it's a bushel of fun of inking of war, the ish did for the hatsar, the cover of fun of inking anything for the yisar nara. This is true that, there, that these cases involve something which is a chi of a chobas gvura, it's to be mekani, not simply, you know, a method of ensuring that there's no tekala. However, it's clear that what the Gris thought was you know, obvious, could have that there were shown that felt otherwise. Just as I gave you a few examples, just one example. Tosos in Nazir regarding Seir Nazir, the halacha of Seir Nazir is that it's Nikbar. Tosos has a question about Kasha Melon did Nikbar B'tzarchiyin. Now, if the din of Nikbarin B'suri Hana, right, in that Mishnah Torah is just a Chashash Tekalo, there's no way to read it. The question makes no sense whatsoever. What do you mean Kasha Minalan? It's a Chova Nirban to get rid of a Tekalo. Obviously, Tosos did not assume that this Mishnah was telling us, was communicating to us a Chovah Derabban the Yerat Tekalos. It's communicating to us a mitzvah, a chiyuv of a Chovah Sfura. And therefore, he's wondering, I see where that comes from in the context of a Gorufa, let's say. But where do you see it here? I usually say this is Sarachiyun. The point is, the question reveals the approach. And I gave you guys, of course, that in general, the Rambam and the Perush Mishnah actually does address this general point. He just says as a klal that these things that the nikvarin are mipiyashmua baba kabbalah. Baba kabbalah is a term. Again, kabbalah in the Rambam has the connotation of tarshval pet deraisa, meaning these are things which were handed down from Hashem to Moshe through to us. That this is the case. This is the kumun mipiyashmua. This is true of the. This is a universal point regarding all the Isure, Nisrafin, Nikbarim, and Nisrafin, the ones that don't have Mikoros, Batorah, but they are Min HaTorah, just Mipiakabal, Mipiashmua. And I would add that this is, I think, evident in Rama's presentation in Hilchos Pesukim Mikdashim. When he speaks of the halacha of Nikbarim, he lists as a general category all these things, including the Tzibur Mitzara, and Garufa, along with all the others. I think it's very hard to argue the Rambam would do such a thing. You know, would list completely separate halachos. There's one which is actually a chova, a mitzvah, bifnei atzma, to be mekayim. Those are two of them, and the rest of them is just a chashash tekalo. So Rambam not to distinguish between them would be surprising. So I think that there is general evidence in Rishonim that in fact there is a mitzvah kfura for the nekbarin, just as many assume is the case. And many are comfortable with the idea that there's a chovas mitzvah sreifa for the nisrafin. So that's number one. The second premise of Rabbi Yehuda Kalanimus, though, that emerges is that he thinks hachala achavim violates this mitzvah. Number one, it's not an accomplishment of the mitzvah. Number two, it violates it. That it violates it seems obvious since you're getting rid of the opportunity to do it. But perhaps more than that, it's simply contrary to this chovas biur. And the question is, why not? Why is that so? Why is it that it doesn't accomplish it, and instead it's a violation of it? So if you say that the chovas biur of kvur of the nikvarim nisrafin is dafka, kvura or sreifa, it has to be dafka those things, and anything else is no good, fine. You get it, nicha, that you would say then this is not doing that, you're undermining, you're acting contrary to what the mitzvah demands. The mitzvah demands you do this with it, you're doing something which is mutually exclusive with that. Problem is that regarding chametz, at least, the Rabbanan hold. What? What does the Rabbanan hold? Right, Rabbi Yehuda holds.
Straight.
The Rabbanan hold. What?
Straight.
Yeah. Afmifar liam, mafmifar romata liam. Right, the Rabbanan hold that you don't need to daft to be sorry. How and whether that works with the Mishnah in Tumura and the general din of Kuvur Nisarpin is not. Not our issue at the moment. Rishonim actually do debate this. Some Rishonim think that it's bechalan nisrafin, even the Rabban, and therefore the Mishnah, this primarily comes up in the context of the Pesach. Many Rishonim, I didn't give you guys the curse, as we will see it soon, many Rishonim, possibly interviewed it, argue that the Stam Mishnah and Tumura, the Gemara itself says this, but they argue that the Stam Mishnah and Tumura is kibase because the Stam Mishnah and Tumura lists chametz among the nisrafin. So there are different responses to that among those who paskin like we do. That nikar din lav dafka sreifa, that we pass along the Rabban. But one one approach of Rishonim to respond to that is that Nisrafin does not, that even the Rabbanon, it should be considered a Klal HaMitzvah. We'll get to that separately. The alternative, just again, which is an aside, the alternative would be to say that Tashbisu, in as much as it deviates from what the Mishnah of Temurah demands, is an exception, meaning that the Torah specifically gives you an overriding commandment of Tashbisu. It's obviously, everybody agrees, straight is a kiyum, and in that sense, it would be something which accords well with the demands of the Mishnah in Temurah, the Chovas Bior Be'isreina, to the extent that it would require deviating from it. That's simply an exception based on the fact that the Torah has a superseding command of Mitzvah Tashbisu. In any event, the problem is that the Rabbanan hold Afnifar until Yom, right? So it's clear that whatever the implications of that Mishnah, it does not require Chametz, at least, that it needs to be Nikvar or Nisra, if you hold like the Rabbanan. That's the question. So now, what's the response to this? So what would you guys respond to that? I mean, the question is, why is it distinguishable? How can it be distinguished then if you hold like the Rabbanan?
Because you can say like the Rabbanan.
So, one second. So, I'll get back to. So, that's one possibility. I think the simpler thing to have thought was, before you get there even, maybe in a Hinam. This actually is Lishitaso, or Yudah Ben Klonimus is here. Lishitaso, he paskins, along with many of the Bali of Hebrew, right? We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that Ikar, that Bior Chametz is Mesreikah. And therefore, Nechinam, if you were to hold like the Rabbanon, that it's Af Mefar or Matiliyam, you would be able to be Machil Kavim. But we hold like the Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Ein Bior Chametz El Sarifah, it means what it says, you need to be Sarif, and therefore, inasmuch as you're now doing something which is contrary to the mitzvah of Sarifah, you violate it, and therefore you can't do it. However, aside from the fact that others clearly quote this halacha, don't pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, just as an example, the Shulchan Aruch, Tur, who while he goes side of Machlokas on the question, about the question of whether to pass on like Rabbi Yehuda or Banan, does not cite a parallel Machlokas regarding Pashlach al Klavim. He doesn't say that if you hold that Ein Bior Chametz Ela Sreifa, so then we have an Isser Lahashlach al Klavim, but if you hold like Rabbanan, that Mefar and Batel Yam is also okay, so then that's fine too, as long as you just obliterate. It doesn't say that. But moreover, it doesn't work for Yudah ben Kalanimus himself. And the reason for that is that there's a din, the Gemara in Yubez reports, Amoraim reported in the name of Yudah, for Yudah, that the requirement for Sreifa is only Shalom B'Shas Biuro. But B'Shas Biuro, even he agrees, Hashpas Sob B'Chol Davar. And there is a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here, Al-Atar, what that term of Shas Bir means. According to Rashi, Shas Bir refers to Zman Mitzvah Sashpasa Min HaTorah, meaning Mitchilo Sheva, La'achar Chatzos, right? Mitchatzos Ve'elach, then you have Mishas Shvi'is Ve'elach, then you have the Mitzvah Tashbisa Min HaTorah. At that point, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, right, that you don't need Sreifa. The only disagreement is Shalom B'Shas Biro. Rashi takes that to mean the Zman Mitzvah Shvasa Midrabanan, Mi Shashishis Veila. During Shashishis, basically during the sixth hour, at that point where you have a Choba Midrabanan of being Mivayer, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says you can only do it B'Sreifa. But even he agrees that Shalom B'Shas Biro, B'Shas Biro, when you have a Chiyu Min HaTorah, then you can do it B'Chol Davar. Rabbi Tam disagrees, he thinks the opposite. He thinks that Shas Biro refers to the Zman Chiyuv Hashpasa Midirabanan when people are in fact Mevarim. Shas Biro means when people in fact do it. They do it. Why do they do it then? Because that's when the Rabbanan required it. Shaloba Shas Biro means when people don't generally do it. The Hayim after that Chovah Midirabanan, Mizayin Shos Ve'elach, right, from the end of the Misof Shashvishis, Chiyuv Shashvishis, Mechatzos Ve'elach, when you have a mitzvah min HaTorah, that's when the mitzvah min HaTorah has to be done by biur the sreifa and not b'chol davar. That's shalom b'shas biur. Now kaf o kaf, if it were the case of Yehuda ben Kalanimus were relying on his own shita that he passes like Rabbi Yehuda ben, I'm sorry, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Yehuda,
that you need that Amir Fahman's Ella Sarefa at Sirvadatka. So then the Isra Lahafil Kavim would be limited to Shalobashas Biro when it's also Asr Lefar or Lahafil Yam. Right? During the time when you're not able to be a fire and not able to be Machil Yam because we passed in life, Rabbi Yehuda, right, that Shalobashas Biro, you require Sarefa. If that were the case, so that would mean that, okay, so then as long as it's Asr Lefar or Lahafil, then at that point it's also going to be Asr Lahashlich Lekele. Whether that means like Rashi, that it would be limited to Shashishis, or like a Mutam, that it would be Daka Epesh Shashishis, one or the other would be limited. However, it's clear from the Rabbeinu Yekutiel, which I quoted here in front of you, that it's clear that where Yehuda Meklonis is posking this during for the period during which it is Mutter Lefar Lashachiyam. Rabbeinu Meklonis, as it appears in the, again, I found this in, happy to very happy to find it. The back of the Maran Kalava is the Talmud of Rabbi Simcha Shapir, who's the Talmud, is basically a grandchild, so to speak, in the spiritual and in learning. He's a grandchild of Rabbi the Maran Kalava, as opposed to the great great grandson of the Agazmania. So, in the context, it's what we have, what we find there is that basically there's an argument between Rabbi Shemaria, who was likely a Talmud of Rashi. The reason they think, where did you see that it was a Talmud Rashi? They think that because, I don't know that there's anything explicit about it, but he writes Rabbi Natan and Sefer Yashar. He would correspond to Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan, first of all, had extreme deference to Dafka Rabbi Shemaria, and he was not somebody who wrote deferentially in general, but he writes with extreme deference. He does to older colleagues, it's true, but as an example, Rabbani also writes very deferential too, but especially deferential to Rabbi Shemaria. But I think the main raya that I saw, at least I think it was in Orbach, was that he writes to Rabbi Natan that your grandfather would so enjoy seeing what he's produced.
I think that
sounds like a language which is very very much evoking a familiarity, personal knowledge, personal familiarity of Rashi. He would love to see what you had become.
Someone had said that there's like a kisveyad of Rashi al Hatorah that said like written only they tell me do or Vedo Shmaya or something like that.
Right. Okay.
So again, I don't know. It's a different one. That's where I heard it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I think there's some confusion between Rabbi Shemaria Mivitri and Rabbi Simcha Mivitri, and some actually attribute Maser Vitri to Rabbi Shemaria. I think this is Rabbi Shemaria. Yeah. But it would seem like that's a misattribution. It sounds like they're both from Vitri, but the Simcha wrote the Maser Vitri, not from Shemaria. In any event, this Rabbi Shemaria, so he had paskin, that everybody assumed both Rabbi Shemaria. It sounds like both Rabbi Shemaria and Rabbi Kalanis agreed with Rashi's position, that what we're dealing with in the context of Shalobashas Biro, when it's Mutter, Shalobashas Biro refers to Shah. When you have to do the Sarefa, that's Dafka Shashishis, the Chiyuv Min Yerbanan. When you get into the Chiyuv Deraisa, meaning Chatzos Ve'elach, the Hainu on Rashi view, Shalobashash Biro, at that point Rabbi Yehuda thinks you can be Hashbaz Zabachol Davar. They both agree to that. What the argument was precisely at this point, Rabbi Shemaria had added that Bishah Zo, in other words, we paskin, he says like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, that's Dafka B'Sarefa. However, that's Dafka B'Shah Shishis, B'Shah Mechatzos Ve'eloch. So then he says, you can do anything. You can be Mevar in any way, including being Matal Yam or fire, and he added, or being Mashach Le'Behema. Right? It is precisely in this context. He says, right, that we pass on like Rabbi, he says, "Hello, Mashiach." After Rabbi Yehuda Machirim, he says, "Hello, this is this Rabbi Yehuda Machirim is running a perush of Tiyu." By what?
Pia. Good
running.
Yeah, it was written.
What
was written?
You saw
it, Pia? Well, no, just like
he's
like
he's
a the very maskils, so they ran.
Yeah. I mean, this is part of the Pia. This is something which we've kind of lost a little bit in generations, but, I mean, Tosas were in Daik Halacha from the Putin that they had as a tradition.
So this is in that vein. Most of the Pitum we don't have anymore, I think. Some of them we do, and we feature prominently, and mostly the Kippur, but anyway, this is the Pirush, this is a Piyut of Pesach. I don't know who wrote it, I'm not sure they know. But so he writes below the Mashesh. So he says, what does Mashesh mean? To like to search for, right? He says, Mashesh achar biur macherim, and it's Leva erbeshesh, below the Mashesh. He would bid, you know, basically the Pirush, I mean, the Piyut itself would then, on this interpretation, be agreeing with Rashi, right? Meaning at Sheish, you should not be looking for other things, as we explained. Like that point is also do all these things. Right? Because we pass in like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Like I just told you. Alright, okay. Then he says, but afterwards, right?
He says it changes.
This is why I say it should be Besof Shesh, I think, which is one word. Besof Shesh Achaz Mambi Uro, the Chayishin and Doma Asi Leit Bekala, he gives you also an explanation of why it is Hashbas of the Choldavar at that point. Because there's a Fashat Chakala, so therefore you can just do whatever in any way you want to do it. He says, Avagad the Chamer Isurit Lab Gili and Shemini, the Hogan is a Kulu Kule, Mevara Becholdavar Shigir Tzesh, Yichala Mehera, Afilu Pesach, Mudjo Lefazer, Lazarus Leruach, Oliyam, because it's not Hana, there's no Tovas Hana, Sheikh Luhu, etc. So this is where he added in, and also it doesn't have to be Dakim Mifar or Matil Liam, it can also be Matil Behemoth Hecker. Basically, precisely accepting the notion that, no, if you hold like the Rabbanon, then of course it's not, you can do that too, Hafal Behemoth is fine. It is here where Rebuta Reclonimus disagrees. Rebuta Reclonimus says that's not so. This last thing you just added on is not correct. Who would be. Because after all, the chazina called Isuri Hanam, Beis Tura, you can mitzvah sefer, it's not Kura, the less the shardom, the shlichon levim tzadkir. So it's quite clear this is not the answer, this is not the explanation for Rabbi Yehuda and Kalanimus, it is not the case that this is because he paskins, right, that ain biorcham mitzvah el sefer, you can only be sorry for it. It's quite clear he is saying this. Even he does paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that is true, but he is paskin that this halacha, the Isra lahashlich lekelev, even when Rabbi Yehuda agrees, you can do other things like mefar or madaliyam. Even when Rabbi Yehuda agrees, you can do those other things. Says Rabbi Yehuda Reclonimus, you're not able to be mashlich lekelev because that violates the chobas abiyur. So that again, the question becomes: how the kosher look? Right, that basically, what do we make of this? How do we understand what is the distinction here between being matil liyam or mefarer, which one can do, counts even as it would seem a kiyum or tashbisu, whether again it abides by the chovas reifa of mikbarin or the tashbisu in some sense overrides it. But this is all matil liyam or mefarer is fine, but hachala behima is also. What is the distinction here? After all, both cases you're getting rid of your chametz, you're obliterating the chametz. I would suggest, I think what seems to emerge is that tashbisu means, on the Rabbeinu understanding, not simply get rid of the chametz, right? Remove it from you, get rid of it, do something to obliterate it. But I think in the spirit of Unkelus's translation of tashbisu, namely tivat lun, right, connoting nullification and negation, one has to, I think, negate and nullify the chametz. And I would argue that the Rebbeinu Reclonimus understood this in the sense of negating its function, its purpose, its use. Right, a machal's purpose, its function, what it's meant to do, its tafke ba'olam, is to be eaten, is to be consumed for sustenance. Negating and nullifying that entails subverting that role, entails subverting that tafke. You can't get rid of it by feeding it, because that's using it for its purpose, that's using it as food. You have to get rid of it in a way that doesn't do so, that negates that. And I think this, then you have a distinction, right? Therefore, once you say that, and this is the crucial line, I think, in Rabbi Gidor Shapiro, he himself notes the distinction, right? He says that you cannot be Machil Kelev even though you're allowed to be, and this is essentially the Yerushalmi's point, is how he interprets it, even though you're allowed to be mefarer, umatiliyam, he says that you're allowed to do. Why? He says, that's okay because it doesn't come lidei achila. It doesn't, there is no achila of it. The problem of feeding it is that it's being maybe lidei achilaso. And that isn't tashbisu. Tashbisu requires negating its use as a food. And therefore, as I say, when it comes to what you are allowed to do and what you can't do, what you must do with it, you can't obliterate it in the sense of using it as a food. That's feeding it is not being mevatel, is not being mashbisa. Structurally, I would argue that this is quite similar to something we find in Tosfos in the context of Shitas Rabbi Shimon Ber Pesach. And I gave you guys some makaros for this. The Gemara later on, Achav Chasam Beis, presents a focus about Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's an Isur Lav of Achila V'Hana Ber Pesach from Zosef HaLochemetz. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He thinks there is no such Lav. And the Lashon of the Gemara is in Over Beklum. But there's a Machlokes Shanim. What does that mean? What is in fact, the Din Lufi Rabbi Shimon? And they all agree, the background to this is they all agree that Rabbi Shimon also has a Pasuk of Ach V'Yom Rishon Tashbisu Se'omer Batechem. So he agrees that there's a Mitzvah Sashbasa. The only question is, what are the implications of that mitzvah shpasa for achila and na? So the Balmor held that there are no implications. The Balmor held that mutter minat Torah to be ochel. After all, the only din that obtains in the context of Erev Pesach with Yerushim Shimon is tashbisu. And in a famous line, which everybody always quotes, but rarely in the context when it actually applies with Yerushim Balmor, it's not nobody's doing this usually in b'shas Abiur. When it applies, but as he says, in the chash pasuk gedolah mizo, meaning his point was that lefi Rabbi Shimon, even la'achar chatzos, when there's mitzvah tashbisu, I mean, you shouldn't be doing this because la'achar chatzos is when you have we paskin against Rabbi Shimon. So I don't think we should be following this balmor la'alacha, even if you accept his position. But his position regarding chash pasuk and achila, his position is only lefi Rabbi Shimon. But the balmor saying is even la'achar chatzos, when there's a mitzvah chovas tashbisu, so nonetheless you're able to eat it because after all you're being mashbis the chametz, right? This is a famous line. I give you guys the correct. Right, the Balmor says in the context is a sugya which we'll come to later, which the Balmor thinks this entails rejecting halacha, a sugya of Gido, which is mentioned actually in our Gemara. We'll come back to that. But he says, "V'i achel mechal mishesh shalos lamala ad ha'erev." You know, over b'achila. So, but he means by this is that it's completely mutter. She'en lechash basak do lamizah. Aval chachila in l'nashosa mishinikos hashishis as a derabanan siyug that you should make sure to do hash basa as soon as you can. So don't hang it around and just eat. Make sure to eat it before Pesach. Do it as soon as you can. But the point is that achila permissible. Right? In the flesh, the Gol Mizo. The opposite extreme is the Ran. The Ran alone, I believe, held that Rabbi Yehuda actually, Lefi Rabbi Shimon, not only is Achila forbidden, but so too Hana. You even have an Isser Hana, Be'er Pesach, Mi Mitzvah Tashbisu. The language and the explanation for it is striking, we can come back to it, but first what I want to focus on is the third opinion. The opinion of Rav Rishonim, the Tosfos, the Ramban, the Ravid, Alatar, and the David, that there's a middle position. Hana, it doesn't aser. It does, however, aser achila. Rabbi Shimon does not allow for achila. He doesn't think that it's aser belav, and that's what he means by below klum. He means it's not a violation of any asharas lav, but it is not permissible because it is being over ba'aseh. You do violate the mitzvah of tashbisu with achila. How is that? Why is that? So the Tosfos' explanation for this is, all right, they don't address the Balmor. Not clear that the Rosh would have been aware of the Balmor. I think time-wise he could have been, but I'm not sure that he in fact was. So the Balmor had said that He seems to think, it also says, that it sounds like Rishon Shimon agrees with Isser Achila. Where does he get it from? Nachgalei Tashbisu. Umachile. Umashma Tashbisu Shalok Kider Hana. Dahainu Achila. So he says, that what does this mean? What does it mean to say Tashbisu? And how does that imply anything that there's you're forbidden to other things? It forbids you from getting rid of it in a way in which you are ochel, in a way in which you're being nana from it. In other words, such speech doesn't simply mean make sure the chametz isn't around, get rid of the chametz. It implies a certain kind of way to do so. And the way that Tosfos is arguing, specifically the Rabbi Shimon, is that what this means is it's not ayidei achilasa. It does involve this element of subversion, of nullifying its purpose. That means tashbisu means in a way that doesn't. I'm not sure if their point is more for its purpose, or it's just you cannot. Tashbisu implies a certain kind of method, a certain kind of destructive method, which is the antithesis of achila. Achila is not being the kind of tashbisu. Sure, you're getting rid of it, but you're doing it b'derech hana. That's not what tashbisu implies. Tashbisu implies kind of a destruction, negation. Now the Tosfos is using that to simply say to oppose the ability of Tashbisu to be Mikhaim Aide Achila. What I would say for Bikolonimus, if I'm correct, is I think he's taking it one step further. He's saying not just that you can't be Ochel, you're Achila, it can't be any Achila. And again, the point being that you're subverting its use, its function as a Machal. It's not just that you can't get personally enough from it, that's not your being Mashbis. It's more that you have to negate the item, Tivatlun. And negating the item means that you can't be using it. You know, having it fulfill its purpose as providing sustenance. So not only can you not be ochel, we can't be maybe with a shum achila of others either. If you look at some of the language of the those who speak of this and try to explain the Isser l'hashlich the kelev, if I recall correctly, the Isser v'heder ha'aruch has a line like this. I think he has a line like you can't be maybe with a shum hana. Here I have it here. He says. Right? That's the point. Is that receiver banim fura or sreifa lav dafka? That doesn't need that. But it can't be that you're enabling it to fulfill its purpose. Provide or not, right? The habikin is up. That's what I would argue is going on here. Lefi the rebutum economist is that there's an isser that the mitzvah tashbisu requires you to subvert it. It cannot be fulfilling its function. You have to be negating it and to just simply use it as food, albeit not for your own eating or hana, but even if it's somebody else's, even if it's the animal's hana. So enachinami. Not only does this not qualify as your achilo, it doesn't qualify as your hanah, but it is the contrary to what you're required to do with it, namely tashbisu. I think that's what emerges. I think that one could argue that's what you find with the Rabbi Yehuda ber Rabbi Kalanus. Now, before we just go on to know further implications of these different yisodos ha'iser, I'll just note a couple of points here. First of all, you know, I can make that up. Yeah, I'll note that there are just two issues, or not two issues, I'll broaden it now. I think that this basic yisod, the overall yisod, that the general notion here, that there's an isser imposed by the chovas biur, anything which violates the chovas biur, the chovas tashbisu, is forbidden by that mitzvah, I think provides a possible basis to answer the difficulty we noted in the last topic, namely the sheet of the Ram and the Rid. The Ram and the Tosas Rid in the Darim, as well as the Russian Darim, right? We had noted that they seem to be of the position that you do not violate the Isser Hana by selling. It needs to be Hanas Haguf, physical gratification. It isn't. It doesn't say anything about financial benefit. If you're not being nana mikuf adavar,
or if you're gufcha, it's not an enemy gufa davar from formulations, but if there's not some kind of physical gratification from the object, so then that's not hana'a, that's not the kind of thing that the Torah asers. It's asering, as I mentioned, you know, something which is dumi d'achila, not just you know, financial benefit. So therefore, mechira, they say, is mut. Right? It doesn't violate the isser. The problem with this, the serious, you know, kasha on this, is what the Shnei Lon Leil Altar points out, which is, how can that be? The Gemara here, our Gemara says that the way in which the Torah communicates something is mutter be hana is by saying you can be mocher l'nafri, you're mashach l'kelev. If you're mocher l'nafri, if you're mashach l'kelev, if the Torah says you can do that, obviously it's not asur b'hana. So it sounds, what that means is, right, that if it were to be asur b'hana, that would mean it's prohibited to sell it. But if you're right, Raman Rid, that even if something's asur b'hana, it's perfectly permissible, there's no isur hana, it doesn't asur, you know, selling it, so then how does the Torah indicate that something is mutter b'hana by telling us you can sell it? That's true even if it is asur b'hana. Right? That's the question that they level, and it's a very serious one, and this is a question that Shita is a little bit of a pella. The question is there anything to say in response to that? And we noted the difficulty with saying what the Kovetz Shurim initially thought. Maybe you could argue it's not that it's mutter to do so in the pasuk. The fact that Torah is telling you it's mutter, the fact that it's valid as an act of mechira, that means it's not asur b'hana. Because if it were asur b'hana, not that there's an isur to sell it, it's just there is no possibility legally of accomplishing a sale. That is very
What do you mean by that?
If
there's no legal
passive value? If it's in a, for whatever reason, it's in a brishos.
So then
that would mean you're not able to sell it, legally speaking. The most are kigez al biyatcha, right? But the Yerushalmi all quote the Yerushalmi that, you know, I mean, really it's rooted in the Mishnah institution, which says in Machron, v'kidesh v'demehen, v'kidesh. In general, you're not mekanesh v'kidesh al enu v'kidesh. So the Yerushalmi actually talks about this, and it says, maybe it's a case of mokel enafi. So the assumption of the Yerushalmi was indeed you can't sell it to a Jew. However, you can sell it to an object. The Yerushalmi all quote that. So there's no difficulty per se in selling Yisuri Na as long as the other person is, it's not necessary to the person that you're selling to, namely Anafri. So if that's true, right, then you can't say, oh, it's impossible to sell Yisuri Na to Anafri. That isn't the case. So the fact that then, that wouldn't be then an explanation for how we could derive the fact that it's us, that it's Mutter Bana from the fact that you can sell. I think we could suggest, though, based along the general lines we're talking about here, we could suggest that a different explanation, and that is that it is true that there's no, you don't violate the Yisur Hana'a. However, it is not permissible to sell Yisur Hana'a because of a separate reason, namely the Chiyuv Biur of Yisur Hana'a. Every Yisur B'Hana'a, something which is Yisur B'Hana'a, has this din in the Mishnah of Chobas Vura Osreifa. That is true, happens to be something that we find basically. Lamaisa, there are no Yisuri Hana'a that aren't listed in that Mishnah, or that don't have such a din. It also reinforced, this is why I gave you guys the makor, it's basically reinforced in the Sifra, the Rash points this out in on Daf Hafez, right, that the Torah specifically says, the Sifrei Darshan, that there's no requirement to be sorifit. So the Rash says that would indicate the fact that the Torah needs to tell us there's no iser, there's no requirement to be sorifit. That would indicate it's asur b'hana. Because if it's asur b'hana, then it must be nisraf, unless we're told otherwise, and that's why we need to be told the Torah needs to hint to us otherwise. But if you hold it, it's not about now, so then it doesn't make any sense. Right? That's what he says. He says, because if there are asur b'hana'a from the Oraisa, then if I don't need to be sorry, you need to tell me that. So basically, what that means is anytime you have something which is asur b'hana'a, it automatically, unless told otherwise, means that it's going to require sreifa or kvura, you're going to require ibud hadar. Given that that's true, so one could then just be mitzari if we can build on the yisod that we're seeing here, and suggest perhaps that the problem with being mochel l'nachri, one could argue, mechir l'nachri is a bittul, is a violation of the chovas biur, straightforward tashvisu. You violate such a thing when you sell it. This possibility that you violate, and therefore that it's forbidden to do so, a chovas biur, that emerges explicitly, and this is, I gave you first, and this is precisely in the context of what we were discussing, namely, Shitas Rabbi Shimon. The Rosh says that his Rebbe has a suffix, whether the fear of Rabbi Shimon, it is mutter to be mocher l'nachri after Chatzos. Now, the formulation he gives as to why it would be mutter is striking. He says that it would be mutter because it is a fact of kiyum. One could have suggested, and Sri was mentioning this the other day, maybe he could have suggested even if it isn't a kiyum, it's just not usher because, you know, the mitzvah is only about chal upon which chametzah you own. If you undermine the situation in which there is a mitzvah, so then it's not that it's you're mekayim it, it's just simply there's no problem with that because you're just getting rid of the situation in which a mitzvah applies. You're not being mevatel. But the point, the second side of the topic was maybe in fact it does forbid you. Maybe being mo, right? Do you have, anybody have a formulation of the rash there? Right, being mo shall not free is a violation of tashbisu.
Yeah.
You have it? Yeah, you want to read it?
Them lo mitam shpirus of a homosafkal rabbi.
Rabbi. Yeah.
Yi chashiva hashbasal mochul akram o lo. Yi chashiva hashbasal rishimon amai yisarek kashish in terrenal akram. Well, the mochnami, the mochul akram, the lo ashkan, the mitzvah of rishimon tsarif of the shish, el of the truma, the lo masal mochul akram.
Right. So, again, the formulation which is striking is the tzad that it's okay, it's that you're mekayim hashbasa b'chai. But my point is, and what does the other tzad say? Exactly what we've been discussing, and the implication to be drawn is that you're not going to be mochel l'nachri either. That also is forbidden mishum l'chovas hashbasa. Now, how to understand that, I think one could build a broader explanation or a different kind of explanation of what tashmisa means. I think one can also just accept exactly the suggestion I was suggesting in the context of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Economist, that it means that Shemizu requires to subvert its use as an ochel, and then I would just simply add the premise that when you sell to an achri, that is really an act of being mafia. Selling to an achri is being mafia. When you provide food to somebody else, doesn't matter what the context is, but providing food to somebody else is an act of feeding, is an act of achal. We saw that something, look, I mentioned this, that lo ya'achil acherim, these things which are asr ba'anah, fear of Rishimon, asher ya'achil, you're not able to be, excuse me, to be ma'achil acherim, that means you're not, ma'achil acherim is the phrase that Rishimon uses for Yisur Henav, because you're not allowed to be mocher acherim, right, because you're not allowed to sell it to others, so that's lo ya'achil acherim. Selling to others is defined as being machil acher. I think this is also something which has echoes in Lashon HaTorah. The pasuk speaks of being le'achol l'taf. I'm trying to remember what the context of that is. I remember the pasuk says le'achol l'taf, which means le'achil, meaning that you're providing food to somebody, you know, to others. So the idea of providing food to others, of feeding others, that is something which has application in the context of behemoth, and we understand that. It also has application in providing food to other people, even via mechira, that is feeding other people, that is providing sustenance, food to other people. In which case, you could say that it's exactly the same. It's not a broader or slightly different. It's actually the same exact particular variation of hashpasa as subverting it as a machal. So that means you can't feed, you know, animals. It also means you can't feed other people. Either way, the point is the Rosh certainly entertains the notion that this would be forbidden by Hashbasa. To put the two things together, one could perhaps suggest this point, namely, that now you have an explanation for the Rid and the Ram. It's true that you do not violate the Yisar Hanah. However, every Yisar Hanah has a Chobas Ibud, a Chobas Gvura or Sreifa. And one could argue, right, that Chobas Gvura Sreifa, like the Shbisa, the Shitas, the Tzad Safik in the Rid, cited by the Rash, right, that chova precludes the possibility of selling it. That is a violation of the chiyuv of tashbisu, of chova kubura. You can't sell it to others. So if the Torah tells you that mochel l'nachri or mashlif l'kelev,
So what that means is it's obviously not Asar B'Hana. Not because this would be forbidden by the Asar B'Hana, but because if it's Asar B'Hana, then the presumption is that there's a Chiyuv Ibud, and if there's a Chiyuv Ibud, that means I cannot sell it. And therefore, when the Torah tells me you can sell it, it must mean just by derivation, by logical deduction. It's not itself saying that you can do things, you can do another. It's saying something else. But that other thing would be not true if it were Asar B'Hana. That would be a potential answer to the question of the and how you can maybe explain the sheet of the Ram and the Rish. All right, just to finish up quickly, I'm here in 5 minutes, so I'll just say the rest quickly. Just some issues that come up in the context of the scope and parameters of the Isul Hashlech Lekelev, which can be analyzed, I think, and ought to be analyzed in the light of what we've been discussing. Number one is an issue that Beis Yosef mentions, namely, to whose chametz does this apply? Is it anybody's chametz or dafka chametz shelo? So the Beis Yosef says, I don't know, recall where, I think he just says Mesasi somewhere. I don't know if he mentions where, that this issur applies the kol chametz. However, I believe that's open to question depending on our analysis. Meaning, the Beis Yosef says that somebody saw somewhere, it's not Mavuar in the tour, whose chametz it has to be. The Beis Yosef says, I saw somewhere it says, la dafka b'shelo. I think that's certainly open to question depending on the yisod ha-issur. If it's midin hana'a, so then, right, like let's say the Torah Asham or the Torah's. Levush, the Magen Avraham, there's a Brura, then there's no, then it's Pasha, right? La Dafka B'Shalo, it doesn't matter, you can't be Nana from anybody's comments. If it's Midin, let's say, just simply an independent Halakha, so then I think it's likely that you assume that it's La Dafka Chamech Shalo, but it's possible clearly to disagree. I mean, if it's an independent Halakha, so then hard to know what parameters of that would be. But if it's rooted in Chobas Bi or Tashmisu, I think it's not obvious at all that this is true. If it's rooted in Chobas Bi or Tashmisu, so in as much as Chobas Bi or Tashmisu, the Torah applies specifically to your own chametz, you have to be matched with your own chametz, lav dafka to be matched with everybody's chametz. If that's true, so then I think it's at least possible to consider, perhaps, that this chiyuv, this isra of l'hashlech lekelev only applies to your own chametz. But other people's chametz, for which you don't, assuming you don't have any burden of being ma'abid, that would not apply to. The second issue that comes up, that's very helpful to look at, is the question of the scope in terms of to which issue right now this applies. It's discussed in the Yerushalmi in the context of chametz. But most Yerushalmi that speak about it, either say explicitly or implicitly, that this is lav dafka chametz. This is true for all Yisur Yonah. The Gra appears to disagree. He appears to disagree based on those of which maybe I'll mention at the beginning of next year. This is a point to just finish up on. Not now, but he is medayik from Tosfos, it would seem, regarding Ibn Chai, that Tosfos does not agree that it applies to whole Yisur Yonah. In terms of the analysis, this, by the way, is the position of the Makor Chaim. Postman, generally speaking, as far as I know, don't conclude this, as we're shown, do not assume this. It isn't mentioned in Shulchan Aruch explicitly, but I think the general assumption is, I would assume, based on what I've seen, that the overwhelming, maybe it's even all of the Kadmonim who pass in this halacha, make it clear that this is La Dafka Mechamim. In terms of the analysis of this, so if it's Hana'ah, right, it seems quite likely and quite understandable that it'll apply specifically to, what? I'm sorry, that it'll apply to Chol Dor Kulo, although it is possible to say that if it's a Diyuk in the Pasuk, even in this case, even Hana'ah this way, it's, I guess, in theory possible, but it would be surprising to say that. More likely to assume it's something which is true of all Isur Hana'ah. If it's an independent Isur, there's a Kasuv.
Obviously.
Sinel Torah, what?
Obviously, it only applies.
I'm not sure if it's obvious. I would say the Torah will only apply if you assume it's a diuk of Le'yacha. Right? This is actually the Makor Chaim's context. He says this is a diuk from Le'yacha, therefore it only applies to Chametz. One wonders whether or not that needs to be true. I guess if you accept the Primigadlin's point that you have to have an extra Le'yacha for this independent halacha, then that makes sense. But I think Yesh Ladin B'zeh. Either way, that certainly is understandable. I think what's interesting is taking it on this third approach, the idea that it's a violation of the Chobas Bior,
So I think it's clear you could easily then explain that this is something which is universally true, and this is exactly what it sounds like from the Rebbe of Kolonimus. Right, he speaks of the problem here is that you're violating, you're vitiating the universal requirement of Bior Chobas Guru Osari from Bixurina. It also is, I think, open to question, this relates to a different point, to a different yesod, it's a fundamental question, but it's also possible to have said, you know what, maybe this is something which is unique to the Chobas Bior of Tashbisa. Maybe the Chobas Guru or Sreifa is a different halacha. And that relates to that question precisely of the relation between Chobas Tashbisu, the Chametz, and the general halacha of Chiv Kvur Asreifa. It's obvious that if you think that Chiv Kvur Asreifa is just Hakala stuff, then there is no relationship. This is something which is a mitzvah deraisa to be Mikayim, and that's something which is something else. Just a Chidr Ban. But I think it is evident that many did not assume, as we mentioned, that there was no Chiv deraisa. Those are Chiv deraisa, in which case the question comes up of the nature of the relationship between Tashbasa. And those, is it Torah's applying a universal requirement explicitly in this case? Is it something which is a kind of a parallel chiyuv or a superseding chiyuv? If you take one of the latter points that it's a separate chiyuv, then in theory it's possible to say the nature of hashpasa, what it demands, it is tivat lun. But lav davka is the general chobas isurei biur kvura. It's not a notion of negating it in the same kind of way. In which case, maybe you would say, again, this is contrary to your economist, who clearly builds off the general philosophy or Sreifa of the Yerushinara generally. I'm just saying it's possible in theory to have said that that this is something which is true of specifically Chametz because of Mitzvah Tashbisu, which has its own character. It involves the concept of Tevalun, and not those other things, in which case you can come to the same conclusion that would dock of a Chametz. Okay? So I think that we dealt here with most of these, the ones to discuss. The Raya will leave off another time. Okay?